So we're here. Hurrah. I think there's different kinds of time. I've been thinking about time this week, and I think there's some normal time, like when you're watching TV. It's just time. It's normal time. I think there are windows of time, opportunities which you'll never get again, like the Olympics. The Olympics was a window of time, it's a once in my lifetime opportunity. I'm gutted that I didn't go to see anything apart from the swimming in Hyde Park where you couldn't see anything. I think there are holy times, like when I was saying my marriage vows, that was a holy time. And I think there are just special times. And I think today is a special time. It feels a bit odd to speak today. I feel like I shouldn't speak. It was just such a good time in the worship, everyone sharing. And I was kind of almost thinking, should I not speak? Should I speak? And so anyway, I'm going to share a few thoughts. But yeah, times change. Change is here to stay, as we all know, is kind of banded around a lot. But I was thinking about how I've changed over the last 10 years or so. In my late teens and early 20s, here's some facts about me. Firstly, skateboarding was my entire life. Had no responsibility, therefore lots of options. I remember going to the Pioneer Leaders Conference with Miles and Paul Stark and some others, and we stole a wheelchair. We didn't go to any seminars. We just messed around. I learned to do wheelchair wheelies and 360 wheelchair wheelies, and we took it down this like crazy steep steps to the beach, and we went in the sea on this wheelchair. That's what I did at the Pioneer Leaders Conference. I didn't go to any session. We just messed around. For Christmas, I'd asked for games consoles. I wore crazy clothes. I used to find like these 70s clothes from charity shops, and because I thought I was a budding bohemian. I was doing art and photography as my A levels, and I would go to the modern art. What's the modern art place called in London? The Tate Modern. I'd go to there and just be like, yeah, this is like really, really amazing. I could eat whatever I wanted. In the evenings, my friends and I, we'd go what's called bush jumping. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but we'd basically like jump into bushes and just think it was really funny. and yeah, I loved Capital FM. So that's what I used to be like. Now, skateboarding is no longer my life. Paul Stark is ashamed of me, but I've become a mammal, according to him, which stands for a middle-aged man in Lycra, because I've joined Marlow Cycling Club. I do have responsibility now, therefore I've got less options. I actually go to the Pioneer Leaders Conference, and I'm keen to learn, which is good. For Christmas this year, I asked for brandy glasses. I have a new clothing policy as well. I don't try and wear bohemian crazy clothes. Me and Paul Stock have talked long and hard about this. It's our 30s clothing policy, which is no logos on the front. No logos, just plain. So I've got a new clothing policy. I've decided that I don't like or get modern art. I don't! What is going on about that? It's like I have to be more strict with what I eat. I think bush jumping is absolutely outrageous. If someone jumped in my bush, I'd be like, appalled! and now I love Radio 4. So. I love it. It's great. That's TV license well spent, I think. So it's education, Radio 4. So yeah, times change. People change. We all change. It's life. Churches change. Communities change. I wouldn't kind of say this was like an academic overview of the journey of the people of Israel, but when preparing, I was thinking about the people of Israel. And I kind of, it's interesting what you were saying, Kerry, this morning about coming out of the wilderness and all that kind of stuff, because I kind of identified three stages to the journey of the people of Israel. Stage one is the slavery stage. They're obviously in slavery. Their mindset is slavery. They're kind of almost in an orphan mindset, you know, which is needy. I've got no voice. God's activity at that time is, you know, is kind of, to them, is quite unknown. You know, they're crying out to God, God, where are you? You know, we're asking you to move, yet we're supposed to be your people, and yet, you know, we're enslaved. God's activity at the time is positioning Moses. You know, he's positioned him into, you know, Pharaoh's palace, someone who actually can grow up without a slavery mentality and can have instilled in him, you know, the strength and the mindset to govern. That's what God is doing at that time. He's working into Moses. God's activity is strengthening, probably the strengthening the people of Israel, helping them to just kind of get through under this kind of oppressive regime. And I suppose the expectations upon the people at that time is that they just do what they're told. You know, and maintain community values. Then they cross over. You know, they go through the Red Sea, and it's amazing. It's this thing of crossing over. I think today is a crossing over time for us. And they enter into stage two, which is the wilderness. And the mindset of the people has to shift. It shifts into a traveling one of survival, one that's nomadic. It's a refugee mindset. And you think, what is the activity of God at that time? Well, God, you know, he's developing laws. He's going, right, if you're going to be a people set apart from myself, you know, how are you going to be different? So he's developing this law system, justice system, and he's providing with them supernaturally, daily, with manna and quail, and he's guiding them by, you know, with the fire and the cloud. And the expectations of the people, it shifts again. Now the expectation is that they follow the presence, and they have to get rid of, because he keeps them in the wilderness to get rid of this slavery mentality, and they're beginning to have to operate. The expectations of them is no longer just to do what they're told. They have to begin operating as a nation, taking responsibility, working together. And then they cross over again, and it shifts again, and the mindset and expectation of the people in the promised land, it goes much more to settling, to governing, to having international relations, trade, defense, and you know, planting vineyards, all of that kind of stuff. It's a settling mindset, and settling expectations on their activity. And what is God doing? Well, on one level, they could think, well, hang on a second, you know, the fire's gone, you know, the pillar of cloud's gone, or the cloud and the pillar of fire's gone, and where's the manna, where's the cloud? All they do is cross over, and all that stops. God, where have you gone? But the activity of God changes as they go into a new season. It's like almost as if the season, the land, the time zone shifts. They just cross over, they go from one time zone, and the expectations of them has to change, the mindset has to change, and the activity of God changes as well. So, when you go, there's a question to everyone. When you visit a different nation, what goes through your mind? It's a shout out the answers.
How am I going to get a good cup of tea?
How am I going to get a good cup of tea? Yep.
Do they have Marmite?
Sorry?
Do they have Marmite?
Do they have Marmite? Yep.
What are the toilets like?
Yep.
What can't I do that I used to be able to do in my own country?
That's a good one. What can't I do, which, say again? That I can't do. Yeah, so what are the rules different? Are the laws different? You know, here we can buy a Bible. In North Korea, we can't even have a Bible. Can't have a lot in North Korea, actually. Here we can, I found out a few years ago, that, you know, here we can park opposite of the way of traffic. So we drive on the left, you can swerve onto the right-hand side of the road and park the way you're facing. In America, you can't do that. She got arrested for that. I got a parking ticket for that, so which they sent all the way to the UK. So, sorry. Which way to look when you cross the road? Yeah. So, what else do you think about? Will they speak it? Yeah. What's the environment going to be like? You know, do I need to prepare? Like, you know, do I need to learn a language, or if I'm going to Alaska, do I need to pack warm clothes rather than flip flops? What else? What can I go and see? What are the challenges? Yeah, how do we need to prepare? What language? What food? Sorry? What can I eat safely? What might I do that might offend someone? There's lots of things to consider as we move from one nation to another nation. Some of it is about what do I need to pack? What do I need to leave behind?
What I've got that will bless them,
yeah. But there's one key moment, which is the border moment. The border is a key moment. It's like if you've got a criminal record, that's the moment that it gets picked up. You know, you can wander around for ages. You suddenly get to a border. It's like, hang on a second, your name is flagged up on a system. I was recently in, well, not that recently, a few years ago, I was in Windsor Castle and I was queuing up to go in, and this American dude with his family was next to me and was kicking up such a fuss because basically he couldn't take this huge knife in with him. He was like, well, in my country you could do this. This is absolutely fine. I'm thinking, really? Would you actually do that in your country? I'm not sure. Like, yeah, gun, yeah. When you get to a border, you have to have your business in order. And when you go from one nation to another nation, there are things which you need to pick up, and you need to start doing, which you weren't doing before. And there are things which in the old nation you can do, which in the new nation you can't do. And it's the same for the people of Israel. I think it's kind of a bit the same for us. Tim, I was wondering if we could listen to Sharon Stone's word from yesterday. Not yesterday, sorry, last week.
Father, we just thank you for this church in Marlow right now. And the Spirit of the Lord says that I've taken you through a season, says the Lord, to revive intercession. And the Lord says that prayer is never revived, says the Lord, because everything's going well. Prayer is revived when it looks like you need divine assistance and you can't do it on your own. And so the Spirit of God says, I have released, he says, the atmosphere of intercession. And the Lord says, this is of my spirit. I have put a midwife anointing upon you for this season, says God. And I don't believe it's your only anointing, but for this season, there's a real midwife anointing that is upon you. And the Spirit of the Lord says, not only will you cause others to come to the fullness of their identity around about you within this family, but the Lord says, it's time for you to be rooted in your true identity as well, says the Lord. And so the Spirit of God says, no one ever knows their identity apart from my plan, apart from my purposes, apart from their gifts and their talents, says the Lord, as well as their sonship. And so the Spirit of God says, that I'm bringing, he says, even a greater, he says, understanding of those areas. And the Lord says it's going to feel like you got a new stake in the ground, and it's going to feel like there's a new security. And I just felt like this. My father in the Lord, when he visits from the States, Dr. Bill Hammond, there was one time my husband went to go pick him up at the airport, and I stayed home. And it was a particularly hard time in ministry. I don't know why it was hard, but it was. And I just felt like the ground was shaking underneath my feet all the time, even though you do everything you know to do. I feel like Marlo has been going through the same thing. But when he landed, I didn't even know he had landed yet. I called my husband because all of a sudden the ground under my feet quit shaking because he stepped on the ground. There is an authority that is being released within the midst of you that is going to help the ground underneath all of you to quit shaking. And the Spirit of God has really called you to that. And the Lord wants you to know that you are well able, you are well able, you are well able, says the Lord. But I also felt like the Lord has pulled together a group of people that have been hurt by a lot of leadership from other churches. And so that means that people don't necessarily give 100% because they did it before and it didn't work. And so now they only give a portion. The Spirit of the Lord says, I'm asking for the 100% again, says the Lord. The Spirit of God says, I'll heal your heart. I will cause not to be a trickle of living water. I will cause, says the Lord, he says, for there to be rivers of living water that will flow out of you, watering you first, and then out of the overflow, it'll even water others around about you, says the Lord.
This morning, I was led, I suppose, to John 21, and especially verse 6. And basically, the disciples, they're out and they're fishing all night and don't catch a thing, and they're doing everything they know to do. You know, they're fishermen. You know, they know to put it on the left side, to put it on the right side, to go out to this area of water, to go out to that area of water. And then basically Jesus comes along. They don't recognize it as Jesus, and he says to them, children, do you not have any fish, do you? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right hand side of the boat and you'll find a catch. So they cast and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number. And you know, what is that about? To me, it's about fresh grace coming. Was God not with them before? You know, God's everywhere. Was he not with them? Did they not pray? They might have prayed. I reckon they probably did. Oh, God, you know, we want to catch something tonight. We're really discouraged. But there's something about a word being released. God speaks, and suddenly there's a fresh grace. And you do again what you already know to do, and what you've been doing for ages, and suddenly you see different results. And I think that's the time that we're coming into. We're not going to change like massively. We're not going to, you know, just start doing things like totally differently. I think we're going to start doing some of the things that we know to do, and God's going to start to rekindle some of the things which we've been disheartened because we've tried and we've been disheartened, and gifts that we've maybe, you know, laid down, or things that we've been hurt. You know, actually, we just start bringing our A game again. We start just bringing, you know, doing some of these things again. We're going to start seeing different results. Why? Because I believe that like God's spoken to us, and therefore there's a new grace for us. I want to pull two things out of what Sharon said. She said one thing, which was that as a community, you're going to be rooted in your true identity. And with that, she said, a new security, a stake in the ground, no more shaking. And I think there's two aspects to our identity as individuals. There's one, which is knowing who you are, just as an individual. And if we all kind of get that corporately, that has a massive impact. And I'll say there's fresh grace for you to know and to not be shaken in your identity as an individual. You know, your identity is that Papa is with you every day. You're a child of God. He's madly in love with you. You're irreplaceable. You're unique. You're precious. You're totally forgiven. You're amazing. You're a new creation. You're clean. You're innocent. And you're mystically entwined with Christ. That's your identity. And there's fresh grace for every single one of us to walk in that more confidently, to be more secure, more grounded in that from today. The second identity thing, I think, is just a corporate identity, our identity as a church. You know, who's God called us to be in this town? And she then went on to sum it up. She said, it's about rivers of life.
Yeah.
That's what we're called to be. That's the kind of church that we're called to be in Marlow, a church of freedom, hope, and joy.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to model that. That's the kind of Jesus that we're supposed to model to our community, to people around us, to the other churches. You know, a few years ago, we were seen as the weirdos. We were viewed with deep suspicion by the other churches. Now Pete's leading churches together in Marlow and changing the constitution. And you know, we're a leading voice in things, you know, and working humbly alongside our friends. But we're starting things like Messy Church and Love Marlow and, you know, other stuff like that. It's exciting what God's doing. But it's going to be a new security, a new establishing in our identity. It's just a real place just where life flows. So that's the first thing, is just being established in our identity. I think that's part of the new season, the crossing over into that. It's individuals and it's corporately. And second, it's just what she said, is just, guys, we're well able. She said, you're well able. But some people aren't giving 100% either due to disappointments, which was said earlier in the sharing time, because they tried stuff before and it didn't work. Or they've been hurt by leadership, so they're not giving 100%. I just want to say, guys, God is a God of 100%. He's a God of 100%, and he doesn't, not because he beats us over a head with it, you know, he's like, you must give me 100%. You know, he's kind, he's humble, and he's gentle. But, you know, he gave totally 100% to us. In Jesus, he gave 100%. And practically, you know, we can't, you know, give 100% of our time and our attention and our, you know, and our money and all that kind of stuff. Practically speaking, that's physically impossible. But that's not what we're talking about here. He wants 100% of our hearts,
yeah.
And he wants 100% of it to come under his lordship. He wants to be able to speak into 100% of it. Like in my marriage, I'm 100% husband, and I don't spend 100% of my time with Chloe. That's crazy. But she can speak into 100% of it. It's the same thing, guys. God wants 100%. I don't want to give, personally, I don't want to give him any less. You know, I don't, you know, get to heaven and I'm dead and, you know, I want him to be like, well done, thanks so much. We were partners. I gave 100%, you gave 100%. Whee, good work. You know, Jesus, he said, if you want to be my follower, take up your cross. If you want to be my follower, let the dead bury their dead. If you want to be my follower, sell all you have to the poor. The early Christians knew that identifying with the name of Jesus meant strong possibility of being martyred. There's Christians around the world who know exactly the same. Identifying with the name of Jesus means that you get martyred. Thousands of them. It's 100% faith. I think sometimes we have this tithe mentality. We give 10%. We give 10% to the Lord. We give a little bit of, you know, we've got our lives and we give a little bit to God. It's the wrong way around. God wants 100%. He wants 100% of our money. So I think crossing over, we need to let go of some past disappointments, some past hurts. I don't think some of those things get through customs. I think it'd be good just to lay some of those at the foot of the cross today. The mindset of tried it before and it doesn't work. I think God's saying lay that behind today. It doesn't get through customs. It's like a big lock knife trying to get into Windsor Castle. Because this is a new season of life, guys. A new season of life flowing from us as individuals, corporately. I'll say it's time to bring your A game again. I don't say it because I'm trying to G anything up. I want to say it because I'm full of faith in that the word has spoken and it's fresh grace for us to cast our nets out again. So evangelists, those of you who just, you're itching to share Jesus to people, I want to say that a fresh confidence is coming to you again in just talking to people about Jesus, to revealing him. Prophets, I want to say it's fresh grace for you to reveal the things of heaven. Pastors, I want to say there's fresh grace for you to bring healing and transformation. Apostles, I want to say there's new grace for you to create spaces and to innovate. Teachers, I want to say there's fresh grace to equip and mature people. Givers, I want to say there's fresh grace to resource. Leaders, I want to say there's fresh grace to have fresh vision, new vision, wisdom. Administrators, I want to say there's fresh grace to bring order and solve problems. Prayers, intercessors, I want to say it's fresh grace to change atmospheres. It's fresh grace for us inside the church and outside the church, in the town, in our businesses, our families. God says to each one of us, you're more than able. If it's a case of forgiving leadership, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, in the most possible sincere way I can, that I'm really, really sorry. If there's any way that I've hurt anyone in here, I'm sincerely sorry. It wasn't my intention. If you want to come up to me at the end and offer for me forgiveness, I'd really love that, because I don't think that's one of the things that we can take into the new phase. It doesn't get through customs. And to whatever extent is possible, I want to apologize on behalf of leadership. Yeah. You know, corporately, I want to encourage you to forgive. You know, the things that God wants us to leave behind are not things that are fun things. He wants us to leave behind everything that holds us back, everything that keeps us small. So, in this new season, the word is life. Life, 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 life. Life flowing from us, overflowing into our community. And this is what I see. I see a church of encounters with Jesus. Us just encountering Jesus together. And as a result, leading many people into encountering Jesus. I see a church that is therefore growing. I see a church that's full of the miraculous and the supernatural. I see a church of love, of fun, of family and joy and laughter. I see a church that loves our community in practical ways. I see a church of visionaries, creatives, entrepreneurs, and dreamers. I see us creating a healthy soil in which just so many people can just grow huge. I think sometimes that phrase, covering in church, covering, it's a lid on things. I prefer the phrase soil, healthy soil in which people can grow big. Yeah. I see a church for the wealthy and for those struggling financially. I see a church committed to unity, people carrying peace in their hearts. I see a church where all ages, from the youngest to the oldest, are so excited about what God is doing and playing their part. It's just life, life. Some of the things I see, some of the things which I imagine when I think about church going forward. For me, the vision, the next step of the vision is just to fill this place. Fit 300 in here? Yeah. strategically, fresh focus, just 1 mile radius around here. You know, we've got a heart for the whole time, but let's focus on this area. We're no longer competing with Newfields or MCF because they've really narrowed down. They feel they're called to every road called Newfield, basically. So, you know, we've blessed them, said, you guys get on with that, but it feels like our patch. The end.